Hello. This is Fred Blair, the chair of the KPFK Finance Committee. This is the finance meeting of April 8th, 2020. It's currently 4:18 p.m. Los Angeles time. That's Pacific Standard Time. And we're starting the finance, officially starting the Finance Committee meeting right now. Okay. So, hello, somebody, would people mute your microphone if you're you're not requesting to speak on the meeting? Who's speaking? Okay, so I sent out a draft agenda, and I should bring it up for myself here. Have people seen the draft agenda so far?
Yeah, I have, Fred, and I have a question. I can mute the call, but that means I can't hear anything. Is there a way to just mute my voice like you do in a Zoom meeting and not mute the audio so I can hear?
Well, you're doing that yourself. You're doing it on whatever device you're calling in on. So, I can mute you, but I don't want to be muting people.
No,
here.
I'll experiment with it right now.
Okay. So, right now, I've started the meeting, so my, the draft agenda says approve agenda and set time for meeting to end meeting. Normally we end the finance meeting at 6 p.m. Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
There always has to be somebody. Okay, Kim, what's your objection to 6 p.m.?
We're starting at 4:20, and people aren't even on. I don't know that we need.
Okay, I'll change it to 6:30. Okay, is there any objection to 6:30 being the time slot?
Point of order, Fred. We're setting the agenda. We're not changing the agenda yet. I'm sorry. You're reading the agenda. We're not setting it yet.
Okay, Kim.
Okay. I have an objection too, and a comment, and that is Aniel and Barry Brooks. I didn't hear their names announced as being on the call. Are they on the call? And if not, should we make some efforts to get them?
John, I will mute you if you make long speeches here. The agenda, we're trying to send the agenda here. Barry Brooks is on the line. I don't see Aniel. And Barry can answer if Aniel's gonna come to the meeting. Barry? Hello? Barry, can you hear us? Are you there? Well, I see Barry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Aniel attend to...
Aniel won't be attending the meeting tonight.
I'm sorry?
Aniel will not be attending the meeting tonight.
Thank you.
He said he's doing other fundraising opportunities right now.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
So, in fact, I'm... So, again, I ask, we're approving the agenda, so have most people seen the agenda at this point in time? I know I sent it out at the top of the hour, right at the beginning of the meeting. Does anybody want to add anything to the agenda?
This is Kim.
Yes.
I would like to postpone number 3 and 4 and go right to the bookkeeper's report and deal with Barry and reviewing the P&L while Barry is on the call, and do all the other local business after that.
There's no reason to postpone 3 since it only takes a few seconds to read. And that is, the next meeting, it will be on Wednesday, May 5th at 4 p.m. It'll probably be a telephone conference like this one. So that 3 is taken care of.
I'd like to wait until the end after we talked with Barry to approve the minutes.
Okay, I'm going to move the minutes to the end of the meeting. I have no, anybody object, besides Kim object to that? Hearing none, I will move it to be 9A, or 9B.
Okay, then I move to approve this agenda, and let's move on.
Well, I asked again, is there any additions or changes to the agenda that anybody else wants? You're not the only person, Kim. I'm asking if there's any changes anybody wants. Hearing none? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I already made it.
What'd you say, Kim?
I already made that motion, Fred.
Well, you could have said move to approve the agenda. Any opposition to approving the...
I did.
Any opposition to approving
anyway.
The... Stop talking, Kim. Any... Any objection to approving the agenda as stated? Hearing none, we have the agenda. So we're now currently on item 5, which is... report by the GM and/or business manager. Barry, you have the floor. And then we'll, after you've made your presentation, Barry, we'll go to questions and answers. Q&A.
Okay. I hope everybody's staying safe and sound under these circumstances that we have for this self-quarantine with the COVID-19. Talking about the winter fund drive for February, I did send Fred some numbers for that. I don't know if everybody got it.
Yes, we did.
I'm trying to bring it up myself here so I can see that. I sent it out yesterday, so everybody on the finance list should have received it.
Okay. So it was those of you who did not get it, our fund drive for February that ended on March the 8th, we raised a total of $510,716. Our goal was $650,000, and we fell short by about $130,000.
Hi, this is Michelle.
Okay.
Yes?
Michelle,
I'm going to be...
We're running, the meeting is already in operation. I see you present. You said are you going to be here for the entire meeting or are you going to leave early?
I'm going to do my best to be on for the entire meeting, but I have some connectivity issues going on.
Okay, please mute your mic so we're right in the middle of the report by the business manager for April's KPFK financials. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay, again, if you didn't get the numbers, we raised a total of $510,716 for the February 2020 fund drive. Our goal was supposed to have been $650,000. We fell short of about $139,000. Of that total, there were 862 new pledges. We had 2,995 credit card pledges, and we had 43 web pledges. Our average daily goal was $15,021. We currently, in our operating admin account, we have a balance of about $18,000. We have a payroll coming due on the 13th of $72,000 that we have to meet. And we have a total of $35,000 in our savings account. Now, because of the recent events concerning the coronavirus, and our cash flow problem, I have been able to defer a number of vendors that we owe. Those vendors include Finality, Southern California Edison, Telepacific, Tech Impact, Community Radio, Sydney Bose, and Payment Solutions. Of those vendors, the deferment is probably about 4 weeks into the future. So probably around May the 3rd, those bills will become due. Let's see what else. Kim Kaufman had emailed me about some information regarding the number of fund drive days that we had for the fiscal year 2020. And Kim, that number as of April 8th, we have had 90 fund drive days. The last year of fiscal year 2019, we had 75 fund drive days. Hold on a minute. I'll give you some numbers here for the actual numbers that we've raised. Let's see. Hold on a minute. Okay. As of fiscal year 2020, the total amount that we that was pledged as of this date for 2020 was $1,447,666 for 2020. And then for the amount that was paid for 2020 was $1,187,623. Now bear in mind that is as of today. For 2019, fiscal year 2019, the number of pledges as far as dollar amount, we had $1,692,150, and the amount of paid in 2019 was $1,549,415. So when I actually sent that email, Kim, I said to you in the email that although the revenue numbers are somewhat respectable, they're a little bit off from last year, fiscal year 2019. So that's what I meant. And that we were off by, I think, $200,000 if you compare what this year, fiscal year 2020, in comparison to fiscal year 2019. Danielle had made arrangement with a germicidal company to have our station, sensitized for the coronavirus to make sure that, you know, there were any viruses on the railings or the desktops and all that. So he made arrangements to have that done, and we owe them $5,000 for that. Because I think two people, I think, tested positive for the coronavirus out of the station. I don't know who they are, but that's I heard that. And let's see, what else I need to tell you? Anything else? I was under the impression, I talked to Sarah Kennedy of Meta, and apparently we are going to be able to make our payroll by Tuesday because of the Pacifica Foundation initiative. So we, even though we're kind of short a little bit, we're going to make up the difference through that initiative. And I believe that's it for me as far as my report goes.
Okay.
I guess I'll open up for questions now if you have any questions.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have a piece of paper here to write down the stack, but Pauline is first. Who's next?
Kim.
Anybody else?
Dave.
Okay. I'm going to have to keep this in memory, so Paulina, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thanks, Barry, for the report. My
You're
question
welcome.
Is the following. How I know that we're kind of in constant fund drive in the sense that there's always that option of pressing when you are calling into a show, you can press a button to be put on the air, or you can press a button to go to make a pledge. So that's a call center, right? Do you know how that's being counted or kept track of, how much revenue that has brought as opposed to how much we're paying to that call center, to that vendor?
Yeah, we do use a company called Telerep for our call center for all the calls that are not handled by the station that roll over into this particular unit. We pay approximately $1,500 per fund drive, every fund drive that we have. I don't have the specific numbers for that, so as far as what each call costs. I think it's about 50 cents a call, I believe it is, that rolls into to the Telerep system.
Just to clarify, so that means we are not paying them during off fund drive time. We're paying them per call, and that's 50 cents?
No, it's usually the brunt of their expense is during the fund drive. Once the fund drive is ended, we're not paying them any money because there's no calls that are being handled by them, because we're handling the calls at the station ourselves. So it's basically during the fund drive when everybody is calling in to make donations and pledges.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kim, you have the floor, but hold on a second. Jeannie Rowan, are you self-muting? I'm seeing that in my screen. In case, Kim, you have the floor.
First of all, what is the Pacifica Foundation initiative that's going to pay payroll?
I don't know specifically what that is, what that entails. Tamara, who is with NEDA, she's the one that actually made that contact with one of the board members or something like that. But apparently there's some type of fund in which we can tap into in emergency situations. Now, also bear in mind, there has been a CARES Act that's passed by the U.S. government and Congress to handle small businesses that have gone through this COVID-19 fiasco. And we are able to, even if push comes to shove, we can go to a bank and borrow money that we need for a short-term loan, and then repay that back within 30 to 90 days. So that's also made available to us. But I would have that information, because I'm supposed to be talking with Tamara tomorrow about it, and then I can have more information for you, Kim.
Barry, could I chime in here? Kim,
sure.
I listened to the Pacifica National Board, and I believe this was talked about in an open session, that Pacifica is applying for these small business loans that are forgivable.
Right. I know that, Fred. And I'm not finished. Maybe Grace can fill us in after this. I would like to speak to something else, Barry. These are not profit and loss statements. These are cash statements, it looks to me, because you're not putting in the expenses as they're incurred. You're only putting in the expenses as they're paid. Is that correct?
No. The expenses are put into the accounting system as they are received. So in certain circumstances, I might receive a vendor such as Finality, which is a phone company, and I might get that bill on the 31st of the month, but yet I pay it in the next month. So we're on an accrual basis here. Okay? So all the expenditures come in, they get booked into the system as an expense. So they are recognized as an expense for that particular month, even though it was paid the following month.
Well, how is it that there are, let me see, insurance expense. You paid in October, and then November, December, and January is blank.
Because some of those expenditures are paid on a quarterly basis, not a monthly basis.
Yeah, but last year they were all $690. So they were the same amount, you know, every month. How about, say, the associated dues and periodicals? Those are monthly expenses, but there's nothing in there for December and January.
Well, they may not have come in. We may not have received an expense for them for December or January. Once the expenditures come in for the at the station for that particular month, they are put into the accounting system to recognize that expense for that particular month. And I think,
okay.
I believe I submitted a P&L to you about a month ago for the first quarter of fiscal year 2020, and it had all the expenditures in there in relative to revenue, in which you can actually see, you know, what our net income is based on our revenue and our expenditures.
Is that, I don't recall it. Maybe you can, if you don't mind, send it out after, you know.
Well, you can ask Fred. I sent it to Fred. He was supposed to distribute it to all the members of the finance committee.
Is it different than this P&L?
Well, I don't know. If you're talking about the first 3 months, it's going to be the same. If you're talking about the first 5 months, it's going to be different.
Okay. Let me ask you one more thing. So last year, the year before, in 2018, we spent $61,000 of premiums for PRA. And then last year, according to this, spent like $6,000. Now, after the last finance meeting, I went down and I asked Mariana, how is that possible since, you know, we had multiple, you know, fund drives selling with PRA premiums. And she told me that KPFK was billed like $27,000. Last year for PRA premiums, and I don't see that in there.
Are you talking about fiscal year 2019?
Yes.
Okay, they should be there. If they have expenditures for that amount of money, $20,000 in excess of premiums, that should reflect
what
in the P&L.
What is in there for last year is a total of $5,956. Mariana said KPFK was billed $26,775. So there's a discrepancy there of about $20,000 that's not showing up on this statement.
Well,
now,
I don't know about
that.
I know that I spoke to Mariana about a month ago to try to clear up some of the invoices that we owe them, and we went back and forth, and I think there was like maybe three or four that – were not paid to them, but then KPFK went ahead and paid them. So
yes, but they're not reflected in this statement, Barry. That's my issue. Anyways, we can move on. This is my issue. We can discuss it.
I'll look into that for you. Yes, I will.
Yeah. And just one more point to Paulina's. So far in the first October, November, December, January. For telemarketing, there's one bill in November for $3,379. So should be another bill coming in January for the December drive.
Right. That's telerep. Exactly.
I'm just answering Paulina's question about the telemarketing, that's
yeah.
the
okay.
number for November.
Yeah, that's usually
okay,
what that
I'm
is.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Okay, Dave Johnson's is up next. Is there anybody else for the stack?
Grace, I asked the stack earlier, but you can take Dave.
Well, no, I didn't hear you, Grace, so you'll be
I
after
didn't
Dave.
Yeah.
And who else?
Okay.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
I just said okay, Fred, that's all. It's Grace.
Okay. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you, Barry, for attending our meeting.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I would like to point out that our general manager never attends the finance committee meetings, essentially never attends them, and always manages to schedule something else during our once a month meeting. So I really appreciate the fact that you're here today. And I wanted to ask, Barry, are you actually working in the station?
No, I'm at home right now.
Do you know what the staffing is at the station, and have we furloughed any employees?
Yes. Annyel was back and forth talking with Tamara of Netta, possibly looking into laying off two employees at KPFK, and the layoff would only entail, I believe, 30 days of layoff. Is furloughed, and then at the end of the 30 days, they would get to be brought back on. Within those 30 days, they would still be paid health benefits for their families and themselves. As far as staffing at the station, I know there are a couple of programmers that come in every once in a while to do their programming and their shows. And then I know that Terry Guy comes in once a week, as I do too, to handle any mail sorting or payment of vendors. And then Donna Walker comes in. She has a show that she does. I think she comes in more than one day a week. She comes, I think, 3 days a week. So that's about it as far as the staffing goes at the station right now.
So based on what you just said, I'm the program director, for example, the website manager, the music director, they are working from home?
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that. I would like to ask again, if possible, for us to get an account payable aging sheet for each and every finance meeting. We've asked that before. I don't need to put that in writing in the form
of... I would have brought that aging sheet to you, but I wasn't able to get that together because I don't have a printer here at my house here, so I need to get a printer so I can do that and handle those type of things. But usually when we meet at the station, I usually have that aging sheet there.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question on the fund drive. You mentioned on the last fund drive a total of $510,716. That was pledged. That was a pledged total, not a net total. Are we still running at an 80% fulfillment rate? Which,
right.
If we were, that would put us at a receivable, incoming receivable of $408,572.
Mm-hmm.
And with the station running approximately monthly expenses of about $100,000 plus or minus each month, my question really is going to be, what is the plan when we are having a fund drive and we're only raising slightly more than 1 month's revenue? And unfortunately, the general manager might need to be on this call to answer that question. Have you and he discussed anything in that regard, Barry?
As far as the fund drive numbers that we incurred for February and the dismal performance, our fulfillment rate is about approximately 84%. Of course, we only raised 78% of our projected total for the fund drive. Annyel is mentioned to me that he has put forth other areas of fundraising, and then also talked about changing the programming to make sure that we have a different type of programming for our fund drive so we have more people that would be interested in giving for pledges, and then also even when we're not in fund drive too, to make sure that our programming is creative so we can attract more listeners. He also mentioned that he wanted to try to attract the members that were lost from the last 3 or 4 years. I think he's mentioned that we have like almost 2,500 people of membership that have not renewed their membership for KPFK. So he's trying to attract them back on board. So that he's mentioned that he's going to have some kind of campaign to do that. So that's all thing he has mentioned to me about it.
Okay, so that was basically two things. Increase the programming to increase the listenership, which hopefully will increase the donations. And his other plan, pardon me, is to contact people that are no longer donating. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. I just had a couple more questions, Fred, if I can continue. I noticed on
Dave, we have plenty of time, so continue.
Okay, thank you. On the fund drive days that Kim asked about in writing earlier, I noticed that we are now have done 90 days, and last year at this time we were 75 days, so we're actually 15 more days so far this year, and our revenue is running about $130,000 less. Now, that's fund drive revenue. I was just going to ask, is there any other off fund drive revenue that has been outstanding or doing better than it's done in the past, or is everything down?
Based on our performance for fiscal year 2020, our fund drives have not been performing as they had in the past, in comparison to a year ago. So our fund drives, we are struggling definitely on bringing the revenue in and trying to meet our goal, because I think this is the first time in which we had excessive days over the end date in which we had to go over, and still we did not meet our projected goal. So yes, we are struggling. I also want to add to you guys on my report that we received $14,414 of the money that we had lost in that fraudulent wire. So the insurance company gave us the $14,000 in payment for the 19, because we were out $19,000. So the insurance company, Chubb Insurance, gave us $14,414 in relation to that claim. If you're asking why we didn't get the total amount, we do have a deductible of $5,000. So that's why we didn't get the total $19,000. But we did receive that last week, and that was deposited, and that has helped us greatly.
Thank you for that. And I noticed that we're all trying to figure out a way to raise additional money. I wanted to know when, and I guess this would be a question more for the general manager, but when is the film club, which is an off-air, non-fund drive revenue source, when is the film club going to be allowed to come back on the air and advertise joining the film club again?
I believe that's going to come on once we get out of this particular situation we're in with this coronavirus, the COVID-19. Once the government has lifted the stay-at-home quarantine, then we will be able to initiate that that film drive strategy.
Are you finished, Dave? Dave, are you finished? Looks like Dave has dropped off the conference. Grace, you're next, but before you go, I'm going to add my own name after Grace. And one question for Barry. You talk about the aging report being a printout. The committee has continuously asked for electronic versions of these things. Would that be easier for you to generate an electronic aging sheet and send that to me?
Yeah, I think I can do that. That'd be fine. Okay. I believe the last meeting, I think the last meeting was canceled, but the meeting before that, I did give you an aging sheet.
Among other things. Okay, Grace, you have the floor.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to ask you, Barry, and thank you for being on the call, and sure. I hope you're keeping yourself safe and
yes,
free of COVID-19. Anyway, I'm looking at the website income, and I would assume that website income comes in regularly all year round, but yet on the 2019 report, in March there's $404 noted, and in May, $230,764. Why is that much website income stuck in 1 month when it should, I would imagine, be spread out? And why is there no website income whatsoever for the first quarter of the year 2020?
Yeah, the reason for that is because Terry Guy is the one that has the information regarding website income. And for the fiscal year 2020, I had mentioned to him that I need those numbers for website income. So when he gives me that number, I usually make an entry to reflect the website income. I don't think he has the capability of breaking it out per month, I think he told me. So that's why you see that large number being brought out of listener support revenue and put into the website income.
Okay, so does he deduct it from the fund drive income then?
Yes, uh-huh. Because it all gets looped into to the fund drive listener support revenue. Because he had mentioned, well, not only him, but Aniel has mentioned that once we go to Allegiant, that we'll be able to decipher on a monthly basis what our website income is, and then we can actually, you know, handle that, manage that better on a monthly basis and make the entry into Great Plains.
Okay. My next question is, I read somewhere that, and I'm sorry, but with the volume of email I get, I can't remember where, that there was something like $200,000 in corporate underwriting or sponsorship income. Yet I see very little here for fiscal year 2019 and fiscal year, the first quarter of fiscal year 2020. So what is the number? I have the total number of $24,200 for fiscal year 19. Are these numbers accurate, inaccurate?
I think they're pretty accurate because I have been basically handling the booking and the billing for our sponsorship income. As far as underwriting, I am not under the any. I'm not aware of any underwriting that KPFK is undertaking. I know that Aniel has said that he'd like to do that, but he says that he's kind of hesitant because a lot of the people on the TMB and the LSB are against it. So I don't know. I don't know about underwriting income. He has talked about doing underwriting income, but I know. He said that I haven't seen any underwriting income.
Okay. Well, it is true the National Board did forbid corporate underwriting until there is a National Board policy adopted regarding that. And any underwriting that was still going on would be handled by the that was adopted by about 6 months by the National Board. However, this is something we should look into because if the income is actually correct that only a small amount is being brought in by community sponsorships,
mm-hmm.
then we need to look into it because from communication I had with Aniel, about 50% of Maggie LaPique's time is spent on this.
That's correct. And I work in conjunction with her, yeah, with the sponsorship income. Yes, you're right.
And another employee was hired under Maggie to also work on that. So
I'm not aware of that.
Pardon me?
I'm not aware of another person being hired that's working under Maggie that's going to work. Well, actually, yes, I am. I think it's Andrea Billo is the one that's actually supposed to be doing that. Yeah,
so that's
right.
At least half of Maggie's time. So that's her mm-hmm. salary plus benefits, plus another employee. I don't know what they're. So if this project is running at a loss, I think it should be considered, it should be examined to see if it's worth it. You know, if we're running it at a loss, why are we doing it?
Exactly.
It's going to be extremely labor intensive.
Right.
And
I'll mention that to Daniel.
Okay.
Greg,
right.
What's that project? What project are you referring to?
Okay, we do a lot of spots on the air for events like the Ford Amphitheater and other such events.
Right.
And there are a lot of other types of announcements that we were getting paid for. They were called community sponsorships. There are also banners on our website. The amount of income generated, unless this is incorrect, in the line item sponsorship/underwriting, unless there's more income that we're not seeing here, I would say that this project is running at a loss, at a negative. The other thing is there were it was incorrectly done, and there were problems with it, and quite a bit of legal consultation was done on this, which is an added expense as well. So I think we need to examine this, because if resources can be allocated in a different way, that might generate more income, or if there are some errors in terms of the income being generated by this project, we need to examine it, is what I'm saying.
Especially if you've got a half-time employee dedicated to this sort of work now.
Steve, I don't...
Right. Okay, so now, the next question I have is grant income in fiscal year 19 was $13,195, and I see grant income. I'd just like to know, like, in December, we had almost $14,000 in grant income, and in January, $7,900, I believe. So what are these grants?
Those are grants that are being put forth by individuals that have
Grants? Is that what they are?
Some of them are, but most of them are not. It's just a very few are matching.
Okay. All right. Okay. The next question I have is I see a jump in personnel expenses from December to January it's not much of a jump, about $5,000 or so, $5,500.
Yeah.
Is that an employee being added?
No, that's not an employee being added. That's independent contractors that are working for the station during fund drive time.
Okay.
One person is Tony Bates, and the other one, I believe his name is Majora, I forget his first name, Majora. Randy Rajama, I think it is. He does work, does like production assistance during the fund drive.
Okay, thank you. Those are all my questions for the moment. Thank you very much, Barry.
You're welcome.
Fred, if you don't mind adding Paulina back to the stack.
Would you add Steve Kaiser too, please?
Yes, I will.
And Kim.
Okay, and Kim, I'm next. I have a couple of questions, Gary. I finally found that email that with the numbers that you had me send out yesterday. I was confused about underneath the information about the fund drive. There was a couple of numbers. There was one called Winter Campaign, $31,000, $725. And then there's Spring Campaign, $7,000. What are those two items? I'm confused.
Yeah, the Spring Campaign is a campaign in which Aniel has done a soft sale after the February fund drive, in which he's doing, different types of programming to raise money for the station, but it's not an all-out fundraiser. It's just a soft sale. The same goes with the winter after the December fund drive.
So that's
the money that was raised after the December and February fund drive.
Okay, so these are the goals. Will we be given actual numbers that these campaigns raise after they're finished?
Yeah, there's a website that I go on and Aniel goes on, called DonorBox, that actually captures those monies that come in for the winter and spring campaign.
Okay. And then my second question is, I'm looking at the January P&L, and this is a follow-on question to a question that Michael Novick asked when we were going over the December P&L, and that is that I'm looking at box W 46 on the spreadsheet, which is the state payroll taxes. And for the first 3 months of FY 20, that's from October, November and December, the total income, the total state taxes paid were just $87, which are, they're normally $1,000 a month for payroll. And then in January, there's almost $8,000 in state payroll taxes paid. Go ahead.
That's something Netta is supposed to correct. I pointed that out to Tamara, and she's supposed to make a correction on that. You're right. That should not be $31 and $19 for those specific months for state payroll taxes. So you're right. She's supposed to make the adjustment for that. So that'll be corrected.
Well, what was going on there was you didn't obviously make one lump sum payment in January.
You have to talk to Tamara about that, because I don't do that. She's the one actually applies that.
Could you explain on the you actually write out a check for the monthly payroll and you send it to the payroll company, but who actually calculates the payroll?
Netta does that.
It's paid quarterly. It's paid every 3 months, and it's for state unemployment insurance. That's the only payroll tax to the state. That's why it's SUI, that's state unemployment insurance, and it's paid on a quarterly basis.
That's why
it probably balloons like that.
Thank you, Steve.
There you go.
Okay.
I have a question. This is Bella.
Bella, you don't have the floor. I'm asking my questions now.
Put her in the stack.
I will put Bill on the stack. Yeah, that was my question. So you actually were paying, because what the P&L statement normally shows is it shows a monthly payment for both federal taxes and state payroll taxes, looking at fiscal year 19. But when we go to fiscal year 20, we had this change. So you're actually paying the state payroll taxes in one lump sum every quarter?
I'm not specifically paying it. Netta makes the actual breakout of all the taxes.
Are you just
saying? Can I?
No, you can't, Bella. Barry's answering the question. okay.
I would like to clarify this.
Bella, you do not have the floor. You have to wait to get the floor before you can start asking questions or answering things. Okay, well, that's basically the end of my questions, Barry. The next person on the stack was, I believe, there were three people ahead of Bella. I believe it was Paulina, Steve.
And someone else.
And Kim,
I think.
And Kim, and then Bella. Actually,
and Bella.
Okay.
And I'd like to be on the stack. This is Grace. I have one more question. I'd like to be on the stack at the end of the stack.
Grace, okay.
I'm trying to get on the stack, too. This is Janine. I've been pressing buttons for the beginning.
Thank you. Janine, for some reason you were muted here. I unmuted you about 10 minutes ago. I don't know what happened. If you somehow self-muted yourself or whatever. So Paulina, you have the floor.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask about how high-end premiums are being recorded. In the past, we've had trouble with CPB funding, I believe, and with our audits not putting high-end premiums in a separate category. Barry, is that your purview? That's my first question. I have two more.
Your question is about the premiums being put into the system?
About how high-end premiums are being put into the system as part of expenses. They are supposed to be recorded in a separate category for the purposes of us applying to for CPB funding, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what I'm asking. High-end premium versus premiums versus inexpensive premiums. I don't know what the what that category separation would be, but I'm wondering if you do, if you can enlighten us.
We don't have a category in our chart of accounts that has high-end premiums. We have an account that actually handles our premiums, and all of them go into this specific account, but it's not called high-end premiums per se.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could look into that. Somebody could look at it. You could look into that and ask maybe NETA or whoever.
Paulina, I can explain it to you after. I can explain
Great.
It to you.
Great. Then I won't waste time. Thank you.
Okay.
Next question. What's going on with windfall income? Has there been any windfall income so far this year, and how that is being used?
As far as windfall income, we have not received any large amount of income such as that, whether it be through a donation or a trust or whatever, from someone passing on or whatever. We haven't received that for the fiscal year 2020. But there's a possibility we could. I don't know. I think we received one. It was a small amount. It was like $500. It wasn't a very large amount.
Got it. And can you update us on the property tax situation?
That's good. That's good you mentioned that. I just mailed that property tax payment yesterday. So that was $5,000 that I mailed that for. So, yeah, we are up to date and current on our property taxes.
What about refunds?
Refunds, that's in the mix. We actually, I had filed a refund for fiscal year 2018 and 2019. I've not heard from the L.A. County Tax Assessor's Office about that. So I'm waiting to hear from them about that. We should get a refund for them now.
Point of information, Fred. I think Mr. Kaiser is speaking out of turn. I wasn't done.
Yes, Steve, you should let the person who has the floor speak. And so, Paulina, you may continue.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a very brief, two brief comments are important. Thank you for being fair, Fred. You know, if you're going to ask one member of the committee to wait, you should ask the other one too. I wanted to comment on the furlough situation. Furloughs could be a problem because right now there are funds available I believe the foundation is applying for, and those funds are very much contingent on us not furloughing or laying anybody off. So that should be maybe something that you should bring up to the GM because, since he hasn't attended our meetings, that furloughs should not be happening. Maybe if you want to comment on that.
Like I said before, they had talked about furloughing two individuals from KPFK. I don't think it's been finalized yet. They've talked about it and what it entails. So... I'd have to talk to Annielle about that to see if they're going to go forward with it. I know that going forward, we are going to be able to make our April 15th payroll. So maybe they won't be laid off and they can continue from working from home.
Right. And finally, did you mention, maybe I missed it, did you mention that we're going to be making central services and what's the plan for that? Are we going to be making our central services payments?
For the month of, no, we have not made our central services payment. We're cutting it close. So if there's additional funding at the end of this month, I would like to make a central services payment, but, it's such a large number, that we have to pay for. And I think we had talked about this in past meetings is why is it that KPFK has to make the large share of, central services in comparison to the other stations and what our revenue is being looked at. So we had talked about getting it reduced, but again, when you have a cash flow problem, you can only pay so much. So maybe at the end of the month, maybe we'll have some funds. I don't know. Maybe so. Hopefully.
Got it. I believe those are all the questions I have at the time. Thank you so much, Barry.
Welcome.
Okay, Steve, I believe you're next.
Thank you. Barry, you say you applied for the 18 and 19 property tax refunds. How about for 17?
No, we did not apply for 17.
I think that's still open. What we paid in 18 and 19 was like 20,000 some, and we should have paid about 5,000, so we have about a $15,000 refund. Is that roughly?
Approximately, yes.
Okay,
great. Years.
All right, you mentioned that the overflow during the fund drive went to this firm that we paid about $1,500 during the drive. Is that about the cost of that? And you said it's running out to be in 50 cents per call is our cost on that. So are they building 3,000 calls? Is that?
They are handling between 2,500 and 3,000 calls, correct.
Okay, great. You mentioned that Aniel is going to try and attract old members. I know there's been efforts before to contact them and even by phone to ask them why they stopped supporting KPFK. And we did a survey a couple of years ago where it seems that these old members, as they're labeled, don't find anything in the way of premiums that interest them. So it's not like they've stopped being members per se. I don't think they really cognate that they are members to begin with. They're looking for premiums that are of interest to them, and if they don't find one, they don't buy one. And I'm wondering what Aniel has in mind to attract the old members. Did he share any of that with you?
Yeah, one of the complaints that members have been mentioning is that, you know, we have too many fund drive days is one. And the other is that our creative programming is not addressing the community events that we based our mission on in the past. You know, it's like we're doing so many premiums and such, and a lot of people have been turned off by that. But yeah, you're right. Some of the people have been turned off because of the premiums do not address what they want. So he has mentioned that he wanted to get more creative with nutritional programming, and then also for political programming, like since we're in an election year this year. So he had mentioned that too.
Is Kevin Fleming involved in this? Does he have any thoughts on the enhanced programming, which you referred to?
Usually when Aniel speaks, Kevin is not with us. I guess Aniel talks to him, you know, one-on-one in a separate meeting, but most of the time that Aniel and I speak, it's just me and him. So he mentioned that he had talked to Kevin about doing more creative programming so we could attract more listeners, that, you know, which would also attract more pledges and donations, yes.
And you mentioned along the line of creative programming, a nutritional focus, which I think is excellent. You know, we all need that, to say the least.
Right.
But then you said political, and I'm wondering, you know, this is a fine line as a charity that we're supposed to be walking about getting involved in politics, where we're not supposed to be promoting or denigrating any good candidate or campaign. And is the idea along the political line is to bring in people to talk, to have forums to discuss important political issues, something like that?
Correct.
I hope you don't mind me asking you. Go ahead.
Yeah, just basically speaking of the current political environment that we're in, and also, you know, how the candidates are addressing the issues that they have brought forth on their campaign, and how that's going to address, you know, to the people, you know, how they're going to impact the people, especially the middle class and the poor.
So would this be like Ian Masters with somebody he's interviewing, commenting on the political posture of a given candidate? Or is this
exactly
going to be like,
Ian does that, yes.
Well, Ian does do that, but as far as the enhanced program for political issues, is it a forum where we bring in several different candidates, you know, or is it going to be an interview sort of thing where Ian talks with somebody about somebody's given campaign?
I don't know the specifics. You have to talk to Aniel about that. So, yeah, I think that would be the thrust of what he's trying to do as far as political, the political arena.
Yeah. So, it would be nice to talk to Aniello if you would ever drop by and visit us during these meetings. I don't know how we can apply some pressure there. I also wanted to ask you about, you mentioned about a small business loan for small businesses, and I'm wondering if we would qualify for that, you know, in response to the coronavirus. I'm wondering if we would qualify for that because we are technically a charity and not a business. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. Even though we are a charity, we may qualify under the auspices of the CARES Act. So we still might be able to, you know, qualify for some of this money that they're able to provide for us.
Okay, great.
And also small business.